yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, 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 long, long, do it good.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Express Yourself. Is it happening, folks? Is it snow we see out there? Oh my gosh. It is 4:01. You're tuned in to Express Yourself, a show where creativity and conversation collide. Looks like the storm is here, and well, let's just hope so. I'm your only host this week, Amy Kimberly. Brian is busy getting ready for the big Valley Visual Art opening tonight at the Launch Pad. Do not miss it. We have a storming show for you today. Lots of fun and interesting conversation as we fill the studio up with the musicians from the School of Rock band, The Leftovers. I'll also be touching base with Pixie and the Party Grass Boys as they prepare for their show tonight at Tika. But first, we have a full house of artists talking about the ArtBase's Laura Thorne Sculpture Mentorship Program. So don't touch that dial.
People don't, but everything don't mean a thing. If it ain't the thing you want, express yourself. Express yourself.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing some expressing here, everybody. All right, how exciting. In the house right now, I have Marcia Weiss, trained as a sculptor and versed in site-specific projects. Weiss is attracted to the ephemeral quality of works on paper. And her beautiful work can be seen throughout the valley and beyond. And Gail Falwell is here, a sculptor and artist with work in galleries and corporate offices around the country. She's also an ArtBase board member, which is huge. Thank you. Welcome you two. And you two have been mentors in the Laura Thorne Sculpture Mentorship Program, and we also have a couple of mentees as well. So please introduce yourself, girls.
Yeah, hi, my name's Reese with the mentorship program. And
my name is Bryn.
All right, awesome. And so the Laura Thorne Sculpture Program is a free hands-on mentorship for aspiring young artists. That would be you two, interested in sculpture. And so you guys have been all working together for 3 months?
Yep.
Wow. And so I guess the first question I have to ask is, I wanted the girls to answer first. Like, when you first started this mentorship program, what was your first, like, impression of how this was going to go?
I would say my first impression of the mentorship was it was very inviting and very fun. I think that we learned a lot from just having two great mentors and being able to do a really cool project.
And how about for you, Britt?
My first impression of the mentorship was, as Reese said, very welcoming and fun. And I personally had a very great time learning how to do sculpture, especially with cardboard and papers and stuff.
So for the mentors, when you were preparing for this and when you first get your students, what is your approach?
So this is a pretty tight timeline, and these guys have a pretty heavy workload since they're all full-time students. We only had them one night a week And then the holidays hit, so we had a little bit of extra time that we all worked together. But the big goal is to narrow down the parameters so that it's not a crazy task for them to wrap their head around. And with that, we came up with doing bugs out of cardboard, not little bugs, but giant bugs. I know Bryn walked down the hall with wings as tall as she was, so it's a pretty fun project. And I'll let that we want to get into our philosophy and their concept and why the bug, and we had them write haikus. And want to add to that?
Yes, so we were interested in introducing the word in terms of poetry, mostly as a texture, really. And so we showed these students how to do a Japanese technique called sumi nagashi, which means floating ink. And they created these beautiful rice paper pieces of sumi nagashi that they were then able to write their haiku on. And then we were displaying those on the wall near their bugs. And the idea here was to dive a little deeper into the insect itself, the lore, the history, and I thought it was so interesting the choices that these students made. There were six students and six mentees and six bugs, and they were all different and, in a way, sort of related to their temperaments. Wow. Personalities.
That might scare you.
So I'm curious, what bugs did you girls each pick?
I picked a cicada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought the cicada was really cool. I decided to do a leaf bug. And for my leaf bug, I thought it was really interesting to, like, incorporate the cardboard, because cardboard really shows how you can, like, blend in really well. And I loved how the leaf bug and the cardboard kind of complemented each other in that sense, because they really blend in together. And that's why I picked the leaf bug. And it worked really well, I think.
Interesting. And do you think your personalities reflect the bugs you picked?
I would say so, yeah.
You like to blend in?
Yeah, I think I like to blend in like my leaf bug.
And? You don't know where to go with that.
That's awesome. That's really so interesting. So basically the way it works is you, as mentors, Gail and Marcia, kind of help pick the medium that they're going to work in?
Did indeed, yeah. And Marcia was the 2D parameters, and
Sumi Nagashi
was more of a 2D application, and cardboard just makes it easier. This is your medium. This is what we're working with. Here are all your materials. Now figure it out. And the beauty of that, since nobody's worked with cardboard before, one, it's very structural, so we could build architecturally the body of the bug, and then adapt whatever different packing materials that these guys did beautifully, and figure out how to make the textures you want. But you can't really, having never worked with it before and trying to adapt it to a bug, you can't really have a vision in mind. It's more of a process, which is what both of us were shooting for. It should guide you. You shouldn't guide it.
Yeah, it is so much about process. And for you two girls, from the beginning of the mentorship to the end, like what were the things that really stood out for you? Like, what did you come out of it with?
I think as a former mentee of some of the other mentorships as well with the art base, I think I learned quite a bit about, like, different art styles and different, like, ways you can incorporate art into whatever form you want it to. And I think it was really cool how we used sumi nagashi. I'd never heard of that before. And just seeing, like, the process and how we make that was really interesting for me. I think that's what I would take away.
What I would take away from the mentorship is learning a lot with sculpture. I've never really worked with it before, and so it was a very fun experience to learn how to create something 3D. out of like a 2D image. And as Reese was saying, the suminagashi is something I've never heard of before. And so seeing a new form of art that's just really beautiful and also quite simple in how it's made was a really cool thing to learn.
That's awesome. Doesn't that make you feel good? Like, yes. To know that you've really impacted these folks, you know, just you start at one place and you end up at another. And it's, I mean, basically the process of art, and I don't know, maybe Marcia and Gail, you can talk to this, is sometimes really actually the most important part personally in a way as an artist. I mean, is that true or not?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think it depends on your medium, really. I'm a printmaker. I'm a sculptor, but also a printmaker. And I think that the printmaking process for me is very much, there's a lot of magic involved because I have to let go of all the, once I set everything up, then I have to let go of being in total control. One of the things I was really impressed about with this program and with these mentees was they took this very humble material, just flat cardboard, and they made these extraordinary three-dimensional objects that are recognizable using just fascinating texture. I thought it was really quite brilliant what they were able to achieve. So I'm rather in awe of what happened over this last 10 weeks. I thought it was quite remarkable, really. And in the beginning, we had a slow burn beginning for various reasons and holidays and this and that. It was looking like, how is this ever going to happen? And then they all pulled rabbits out of the hat, and I hope everybody comes down to see because it's extraordinary what they've done.
Awesome. And what about for you, Gail?
For me, I think it's beautiful watching them surprise themselves. Sculpture's tricky, and they had to learn structure and structural integrity, and that's part of the slow burn process in the beginning. It's more of the architecture and the building of the thing that gives you something to work on, and that has to be perfect. That has to be strong. And that was a complete new learn for these guys, cutting pieces that puzzle together. We weren't using glue, like sticking things, because that's not structurally sound. But you could do crazy things with cardboard, as they figured out for themselves, and the surprising them. And then figuring out how to clad it, how to fill it, what to do on the bottom, what to do on the top, how do you make leather, how do you make a shell, what can we experiment with and discover instead of knowing, I have paint, so I'm going to go in, I'm going to make a painting, and it will look like this. None of it worked like that, right? And I think that was the learning curve for each bug, for all of us. Was brainstorming together and collaborating to figure out what's best practice here. And these guys came up with a lot of insanely cool ideas. Like Marcia said, everybody should come down and look because they're giant bugs and they're all really pretty amazing.
Good. And we are going to talk about the artist talk and reception. But first, as your art is primarily sculpture?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a sculptor.
Yeah.
I do a lot of monument work across the country and commission work.
Yeah. So sometimes when you're mentoring, do you find places in yourself where all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've just learned something too?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, like they teach us all kinds of things for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. So how many years has the Laura Thorne sculpture, or it changes a bit, right? If this is the second, you can say it out loud.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's been in existence for several years.
Yeah.
And sure. I just wanted to say I was a dear friend of Laura Thorne, and I'm so happy to be able to be doing this with her in mind.
She was a
wonderful friend for many years.
Yeah, yeah. I heard Pastor Mustard was reading our little thing for the show, our little blurb, and he was on the radio earlier. He's like, I know her.
We have one of her pieces out front of the Art Base now, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, permanent installation for the Basalt Art Program.
Well, this is awesome. I just do want to make sure that we touch on the fact that there is a this is on view through the 30th. It's been up since the 16th. Time is going so fast. I'm like, has it already been the 16th? Yes, it has.
Too fast.
Oof. And but the closing reception is Friday, January 30th from 5 to 7. And there's an artist talk that night, too. So does that mean you girls are going to be talking?
A little bit. Yep.
Who else was? How does the mentorship program work? And Reese, it's really interesting because you obviously are a serial mentee. You've taken several of the Art Base's mentorship programs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, like, how lucky. That's so awesome.
It is awesome. I've enjoyed all of the programs there. I've done, and they have, the next one they're doing is called the Claudette Carter Mentorship. And it's really cool. I think if any, like, high school students are interested in art, that's a great place to go and, like, learn about art. Because when I did it, it was really awesome.
It's so cool. So basically the way it works is that the information is put out to all the high schools up and down the valley.
I think it tries to focus on actually Basalt High School. Mm-hmm. But we had to go a little far afield to fill this class. So you're Carbondale, and there was one mentee from Aspen High School. But I think the Art Base, I was told, likes to pull from the Basalt area.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough for the students to get up and down Valley fast enough to come after school. Yeah.
And Reese, are you Roaring Fork too, or are you Basalt?
I'm a Basalt student.
Okay, so that's great. So you have really taken advantage and of what is offered from the Art Base, which is very cool. And just a question, are you considering art school as college?
Certainly considering it, for sure. I love art, and it would be great if I could do that in college.
It's big bucks. Big bucks.
Big bucks.
Right? You never know, right?
You can
never know.
Bucks. It's all what you believe.
Yeah. Exactly. I so agree with that. So now you have finished your mentorship.
This one, yes.
And this will come around again next year. Right. Usually the call goes out when, like September?
Well, they have to give them time to settle at the school, and then they do it far enough in that they're settled, but not so close to Thanksgiving that they're already thinking about exams.
Yeah.
And that's a little tough to fit it in there, for sure.
To fit it in.
Yeah.
Just real quick before we go, I mean, you two both have incredible bodies of work yourselves.
Thanks.
As artists, and I'd really love you to share your contact pages, social media, whatever it is, with our listening audience, because I was on both of your web pages, and it's just so great. I mean, Marsha's work I've seen quite a bit, and I really love what you do, which is more print than sculptural.
Except I've just started making sculpture again.
See?
At the clay studio.
Oh.
Using clay and bronze combination.
Wow.
And yes, my website is pretty self-explanatory, MarshaWeiss.com. And I'm actually having a 5-decade retrospective at the Art Base.
Oh, nice.
Goodness gracious. That opens March 13th.
Oh, beautiful. That's great.
So
that's
I hope
great.
People can come see what I have been up to for 50 years.
Hard to believe, huh? 50 years.
And that will be an amazing show.
Congratulations.
We're excited to have it.
Yeah. And Gail?
Yeah, my site is fallwellstudios.com, and Instagram, same thing, Fallwell Studios. I've just put a massive monument in Denver that was really fun, and I was lucky and honored to put a little piece in behind for Basalt at Free Range. BPAC asked me to do the three dancers that are up spinning. So I'm kind of diverse in my mediums, but bronze is the fundamental launching point for where I'm going.
That's fabulous. And Fallwell is F-O-L.
Yes.
W-E-L-L. And Weiss is W-E-E-S-E.
Right. M-A-R-C-I-A.
That's true. That's right, because Marsh could be spelled differently, too. Good call. Well, I love these mentorships, and it is true, right, Reese? Right now there's applications up for the next mentorship at the Art Base. So if you have a high school student that really, really loves art and is willing to put in the time, because this must have taken some time, right, girls?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And the just to chime in on that, the Claudette Carter is a one-on-one mentor, which is really, really cool. You get to spend a little more intense time with one student. The Laura Thorne program, we bring six students in, and Marsh and I did it together, and we're all in a classroom at the Art Base. We used to be able to bring the kids into our studios and work with them. We're trying to fix that, but sadly they can't let us do that anymore. But we one-on-one is very different than a classroom of students, for sure.
That's true. And as you pointed out, you get to pick your medium. So let's say it could be sculpture, it could be printmaking, it could be watercolor.
Right.
And then you're paired with an artist that
of your interest.
Yeah. I did the Claudette Carter mentorship a few years ago, and it was phenomenal. Yeah. I had a student from Glenwood Springs. And we had, and she, at that point, she could come to my studio, and we had a beautiful experience. She created amazing work. She ended up selling most of it at the show and getting four commissions.
Wow.
And she'd never, we were working with woodblock prints.
Oh, fantastic.
And she'd never done that before. Oh, so
fun.
It was it was very satisfying.
Oh,
for all
well,
of
thank
us.
You for the work you're doing. Thank you for coming in. And you know, I'm so glad that students are taking advantage of these amazing resources we have here, because not everyone, you know, really gets to have this access and support for doing art, right? And it's so important in our society and as a healthy society. So thanks, girls, for putting in that time. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show when you're having your own exhibitions. We always love that.
Yeah.
So everybody check out artbase.org. The Art Base. And remember to come on out, check out the show, showing till the 30th. And then the fun part really is the closing reception.
It will be. Yeah. We get to listen to you guys talk.
Thank you so much. Okay, a little Rolling Stones. Not because they're coming here to Carbondale to play, though. I've heard rumor maybe they'll come to Takah here on their next tour. But we're playing it because I have quite a few members of the band The Leftovers in the studio. This is one of the songs they're going to be playing. And they are part of the Adult School of Rock. And we also have, what are you going by these days?
It's the Rock and Roll Academy.
No, but your name.
Oh, wow.
Chris Harmony.
Chris Harmony Harrison.
Chris Harmony. Okay, I can say Chris Harrison.
Chris yeah, Harmony
Chris
Harrison.
Chris Harmony Harrison.
There you go.
Who runs the School of Rock here. And then I'm going to have each of you guys introduce yourselves and tell our audience what you play.
I'm Jeff Munn. I play tenor saxophone.
I'm Louis Wilshire, and I play guitar.
Seth Goddard, electric bass. Oh, and Chris,
I'm not in the band this
right?
time. Yeah,
no, he's our coach. We call him Coach.
Yeah, Coach. Uh-huh.
And then missing from the band is I know Billy Bob. He's a vocalist
he's
and maybe
our lead
cowbell.
Singer.
Yeah, he's quite the cowbell player.
Yeah, more cowbell.
Has he been practicing at home? I guess.
Brad Solomon and Thomas Bank.
Yeah, Brad's playing guitar. And David Johnson as well on guitar, and Tom Bank on drums.
So let's talk about the origin story of the Adult School of Rock, because I know we have a showcase next Friday, the 30th, at Takah.
Mm-hmm.
think it starts at a real reasonable hour, like
it's
6?
It's starting at 6, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's mostly student bands, but it's going to go for a while. We have 8 groups that are going to be taking the stage, and the leftovers will be the finale of the show.
Hence the band name.
Well, you guys got stiff competition because, you know, you're up against kids. People always love kids. You guys aren't going to get the breaks the kids get now. They're going to expect some.
Oh, now I'm nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot, Amy.
I tell you.
You can do it.
You know, some of the bands that the kid bands that are playing have been playing together for a couple years now, and it is really impressive what they're accomplishing together. The tightness of the group and the musicianship that they're displaying. It's really great, really great.
Well, Seth, you're the first one that I heard about this adult school of rock from.
Yep.
So tell me how you got involved.
I got involved because my wife had a guitar. And then she got another one. And I took that original one and I said, well, what if I just play these 4 bass strings? And I had this kind of vision that I could learn how to play a stringed instrument. I had never done that as a kid. I went to a high school that had some great musicians, and I wasn't one of them. And so it just felt like, well, I can't get up there. And so I just thought that chapter was going to – I just never did it, and I thought the chapter would just never open for me. And then it did, and my wife bought me an electric bass. Thank you, Lisa. And my son, Oliver, they both chipped in, bought me a bass, and I started playing, learning some stuff online, and quickly realized that the internet can only take you so far. And that really the human experience of being in a band is irreplaceable, as is – Chris Harmony Harrison. And so I knew Chris from beforehand. And then Jeff, you got a saxophone. You want to tell the listeners, how did you get
the saxophone origin story?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my son Lucas was playing sax and decided he was 8th grade going into high school. And he decided he had been taking lessons with Chris, and he decided he didn't want to pursue sax in high school. And so I realized, hey, I have a free saxophone. And I thought, well, you know, I grew up singing. I was in choir, but I never played an instrument. And I actually approached Chris at the 2023 fashion show and said, hey, do you teach adults? And he said, sure. And so I started taking lessons with Chris in like April of 2023. And then
I think
found out that Seth was playing bass, and then we jammed one Sunday just at random, and it was awful.
It was horrible.
We could,
right,
we
but this was years ago. This was years ago.
And so I was taking lessons with Chris at the time, and I approached him and I said, hey, could we take a lesson together? And Chris said, I have a better idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Chris pulled a couple people together, and the first, you know, Rock and Roll Academy for Adults was born from there.
Was. And that was three years ago.
I mean, I know this is the 4th one that you and I have done.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have done this 3 other times?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you only get better the more you play.
Yeah. And if you don't like what you hear, that just, you know, think about what it must have sounded like the first time.
Yeah.
And so is this your first
time? This is my first time. This is Louis. Yeah, I have a son that named Rudy. What up? That has been in the school of rock for a long time. He's been in there for, I don't know, a few, maybe 5 sessions
this
now.
This is, yeah, he's 2.5 years.
So, and I learned through that Chris announced, I think at one point he was like going to do an adult one, and I just didn't do it. And then I just basically this time I was like, you know what? I got to just do it. You know, that sounds good. I know Rudy really likes it. So yeah. And I've never played in a band. I've played guitar by myself in my house for years and, you know, off and on, and, kind of took lessons at one point, but not really. And so I was like, I really need to test out my skills. And like Seth said, I mean, there's nothing like playing with other people. It's really kind of amazing what happens.
And as you get
old, and bad.
I think, you know, as we get older, because I'm not going to give away everybody's age, but we've got, you know, these are all dad-aged folks. The idea of learning something new is so appealing. And to learn something new that isn't a creative outlet, and then you're doing it with other people, there's a lot of magic in that that you really can't get anywhere else. Yeah. So that creative outlet has been wonderful. Plus, we get to play music that we know and we love. And, you know, you find yourself getting funky.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel like music is a conversation, a language in its own.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get so used to communicating in a certain way, and music can help break you out of it and kind of expand. I gave Billy Bob an ultimatum. I said, you can either do adult school of rock or you can go to therapy.
Yeah,
pick your choice, but you know, it's time to like start learning how, because he always played by himself,
right?
And you know, it's so different. And Louis, you might be able to speak to this, that, you know, when you're playing by yourself, you can do your own kind of rhythms, your own kind of style. But once you get other people involved, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, there's people depending on you to not screw stuff up. So
yeah,
it's a lot more like, oh, I can play this right, but only once out of three times, you know, or something. And so, like, when you're like, we're preparing for this performance, and you're like, okay, I just got to play that one riff like twice a day for a week before, you know, just to make sure I don't mess it up when it's important to not mess it up. But I mean, I think more than that, it's like the communication between us, like when we're all learning. I mean, this is the thing that's like so cool about school. It's like we're all learning how to be a band, which you wouldn't know anything about that unless you tried to be in a band. And like having Chris there as a coach and a producer and a teacher is like, you know, he's like, whoa, you know, we got to talk about like why you guys are doing certain things and how you're going to do it and all the structure of songs. And we all need to agree on this and that. And, you know, and it's all super, I don't know, like involved. And it's way more immersive than just playing a song in your house.
Yeah. So, it's music theory.
Yeah.
And how. How songs are formed.
It's a little bit part of it, you know. There really
it is
are.
For me.
Yeah.
You're probably.
Well, there's so many nuts and bolts and, you know, yeah. Playing music with people that you don't even think about. I mean, number one, you got to be willing to stop practicing in front of everybody and actually just wait to see what the band is going to do. Or somebody has to take some initiative and say, hey, what song are we going to play? And even the process of deciding that is a bit of a process. And so that's what the curriculum of Rock and Roll Academy really offers, is a real methodology and a learning cycle that was developed for kids, but it works just as well for adults. We really don't learn much differently than the children. In some ways, we learn a little bit faster and we can handle more complex ideas, but it's also pretty amazing what I see these kids accomplish when they don't have limitations or restrictions really placed on them in terms of what they can accomplish, you know. And it's been really it really is. It's super exciting for me to see all of the musicians, and especially you guys as adults, to from where we started to all of the progress that we've made. And getting ready to present a really awesome set of music for the community next Friday at Takah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the coolest things, Chris, is like if you – there were moments, you know, when you're 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, and I was thinking, there is no way we're ever going to get this song down. Like this song is way beyond us. And we pulled it together.
Mm-hmm.
It was really pretty amazing. And Louis, you were talking about the feeling of people counting on you, and at the same time, it's like they're counting on me not to screw up, and at the same time, we're all going to screw up, and we're there to support each other when we screw up, because we're all going to screw up.
Yeah.
And I think that's just as appealing a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's with musicians, the pressure is that, you know, you, like you said, Lou, you might really know this thing, but when you guys get up on stage, when we get up on stage as performers, we have one shot to really give it our best. And in the game of live music and live performance, mm-hmm. you learn very quickly that anything can happen at any moment. And it's one of the things that keeps things exciting. And it's one of the things that we really talk about in Rock and Roll Academy in this process. How can we make mistakes but get over it and not turn it into a train wreck? How can we just, you know, turn it into a little bump? Oh, no problem. Here we go. And being adjustable possible, having, you know, using active listening and listening to what's going on in the band the whole time. It's a very exciting skill and one that's, you know, tough to develop. It takes some practice to develop that. It's much different listening to the music that you're creating in a band versus just being a passive listener, listening to CDs and the radio and things like that. It's very different experience, and it's very exciting to be able to offer this, and I'm so excited and really proud of the work that these guys are doing and that they've, you know, had the courage to step out of the comfort zone and to try something new. Because it really is. Playing music is, it really requires a lot of us in so many different areas, mentally, intellectually, emotionally. And just having the courage to be expressive with art is something that it's really wonderful to see these men doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the therapy. I think he's talking to the therapy part.
There's the therapy. Yeah. And that's the therapy right there. Worth every penny.
Totally.
Seth always says, you know, Rock and Roll Academy, it's cheaper than therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a replacement.
Well, Seth's been therapy for years.
Yeah, so and I can tell you.
I do find it so much fun to hear, as you guys have been practicing, the evolution and how you coalesce more and more each time you get together.
Yes, thanks for donating your house, your living room, for some of those practices.
That's been one of the best things, and something special about this group is not only are we having so much fun on the Wednesday evenings that we get together, but these guys have really taken it on themselves to find another place to practice, another time to get together. Sometimes not everybody can make it, but they still just do it just because they're really enjoying playing music, and that's really, really awesome to see.
Yeah, yeah, and it feels like you guys came, you know, it's been an easy, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't know how the song choices happen, but it feels like you all really love the choices that happened. I don't know, maybe you could speak to that for a minute before we go.
We went through kind of like a list of songs, not a list, but we started playing some songs, and then we ended up with our set list now is not the songs that we started playing. Oh. So I don't know how that all happened, but it was just sort of an evolution. And we sort of like, maybe Billy started playing a song one day at practice and we were, oh yeah, that's a good song. Maybe we should do that one. Just then, you know, it sort of took off. But I think that we, it just sort of evolved, but we are going to come up on, you know, this next session and we've got to go through that whole cycle again. So yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and we were a little bit focused on funk. Mm-hmm. That was one of the themes.
You're a bass man.
I am a bass man, and I got to the point through Rock and Roll Academy where I felt like, okay, I think I'm ready for some funk. And so that was one of the themes that we brought to it. And then we obviously have a horn. We've got a saxophone, which not all genres have saxophones, so we wanted to make sure that we could feature that horn.
Every band needs a good sax.
Every band needs to sax it out.
I agree, Jeff.
So yeah, that's kind of how we came to it, and then what gelled.
Well, and I think one of the things you learn in the process is, oh, I really like this song, but this song is way beyond where we are as a band. Mm. And so, you know, some of the songs end up deselecting themselves because it's just abundantly clear there's no way we're going to play this song.
Yeah.
Well, I like your choices. I'm not going to give them away. People have to come out next Friday, the 30th at Takah to hear them. It's going to be, you're going to bring the house down.
It's going to be a big night at Takah. I really think there's going to be a lot of community there. It's going to be a really wonderful thing to see the kids and these guys as well.
Well, Chris, talk about School of Rock real quick before we go. And so the next session, do you guys all think you're going to be taking the next session?
We are.
Oh, yep. Okay. When's the next session start? What are the dates?
We're actually, the concert is a little bit late in the cycle this year. I like to do it a little closer to the middle of January, but we're right at the end because we really wanted to do the concert on a Friday to make it a little more accessible and a little more fun for the community. The concerts have always been free and open to the community because I really believe that it's important for people to come and see some of the work that the young people are doing in our community as artists. And I promise you, you will leave. It's just absolutely the most inspiring thing that I have ever seen is what these kids accomplish on stage. And I hear that echoed in parents' sentiments and other members of the community all the time. They're just absolutely blown away at what some of these young people can do. You know, that's really the motivation behind bringing the concerts. It's truly a gift, giving a gift back to the community and for all the support that we appreciate. In order just to be here and have a program like this. It's very unique. It's especially unique in rural areas to have an after-school music option like this. And I'm just so excited to and honored to be able to do this work in this community. It's really, really very, very rewarding.
So if people, like, what if this adult thing starts to grow and more adults want to take School of Rock? How's that going to work?
Yeah, so Rock and Roll Academy is actually in a process.
Rock and Roll Academy.
Thank you. I know, that's all right.
It's a great movie.
That's where I've many times. So Rock and Roll Academy is actually in a process of expanding right now. This next month, we're going to be opening a second location down in Glenwood at the new Glenwood Community Arts Center that's just been refurbished and launched. Lot of wonderful work that has been going on down there. Tracy Wilson's the new executive director of the organization, and they're under the umbrella of the Glenwood Parks and Rec Department now. Yeah. And so they had a room in their building down there by the Hot Springs Pool and the Yampa Vapor Caves that they wanted to dedicate to music. Tracy knew that I had this program and that had a really strong reputation, that the kids were really enjoying it. And so she reached out to me, and I had been wanting to get down to Glenwood to make this program more accessible to Down Valley students as well. So it just really fit. Fridays is the only day that we're doing it right now. But I'm really hoping to find some other people to facilitate the program and being able to continue to expand the offerings that we're having. Expanded the ages a little bit to open the program up to more students, and most certainly having a second location is going to be great. And I really do. I really enjoy working with the adult students as well, because number one, they're people who want it. They want to come. They want to learn about music, and those are the people that I want to work with. Are the students that, you know, this is something. I think it's something that's really important, actually, in arts education in general. Is that it's not something you can do compulsory. You can't force arts education down people's throats. They really have to come to it on their own. And it's going to be exciting to see how many other people take advantage of this program, because it really does seem to make truly a difference in people's lives, I would say.
Well, real quick, where do people find School of Rock? I mean, Rock and Roll.
No, see, the Hollywood programming is deep. It's deep.
Like it's really. Jack Black, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Academy.
So you can find us at rockandrollacademyaspen.org is our web address, rockandrollacademyaspen.org. And that's where you'll find most of the, pretty much all the information on the program, the new information on the Glenwood program that's opening, and we would love to see you at Tekaw a week from today on Friday the 30th, 6 to 9 p.m. is the concert.
That's right. See you all out there. Thank you all for taking some time and being out here.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Amy. Thank
you. See you on next Friday. Stay tuned for Pixie and the Party Grass Boys.
To my knees. First track song. close the parking lot. The two get first chair, I'll leave you there. There's no, 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 no friends, no friends on a powder, powder day.
We have a little Pixie and the Party Grass Boys going on. No friends on a powder day. Isn't that the truth? And maybe we're going to get a powder day here. You are tuned in to KDNK. This is Express Yourself. And I think I have the whole band on the phone. Are you there?
We're here.
Yay! Wow, you guys made it. You drove over from Crested Butte today?
We sure did. We went the long way, so we didn't have to go up and over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we made it.
All right. So will you all introduce yourselves, and then we'll start from there. I know I've got Ben. This is Ben Weiss's phone, and he plays mandolin and vocals. But who else is all there?
My name is Zach Downs, and I am the bass player.
This is Chris Petty. I'm on drums.
Hi, Katya Yersin here. People call me Pixie. I'm Pixie. So singing and guitar playing.
Awesome.
And I'm Amanda Grapes, and I play the fiddle and sing a bit.
All right. You guys are so great. I think the first time I saw you was at the Palisade Bluegrass Bash back a couple years ago. But you have played, you know, you started as Ski Bums, basically, right, in Salt Lake City. And now we see you Winter Wondergrass. I think you've played there 5 years. You've played Del Fest, Jam Cruise, obviously the Palisade Bluegrass Bash. And you're playing Tico Time this year, I see. So the trajectory is real and strong. How's it feeling?
You know, it feels really good because, yeah, we kind of started this band for fun, you know, when we were just like a bunch of little ski bums. And then, you know, never in our wildest dreams we thought it would have taken us to the main stage of Rocky Grass and beyond.
I mean, it was in my wildest dreams. I just didn't know we'd get to do it.
That's awesome.
10 years? Like, yeah.
Did you play Rocky Grass last year, or are you playing it this year?
That was last summer.
Awesome.
And that was just a career highlight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet. I worked for Planet Bluegrass for 20 years. So that was definitely a part of my many years of my life. So basically, you guys are a bunch of ski bums. And I'm thinking you're still skiers because I see Meyer Skis as a sponsor or something. But how?
Yeah, they have like they make a party grass ski.
Do they?
All the skis can be party grass skis. You can get a party grass design on any of their skis or boards.
Oh wow! How awesome, you guys!
Yeah. So if you want to advertise skiing and partying and have a fire breathing chicken on any pair of Meyer skis, you can do that too.
I mean, random people compliment me all the time. They don't even know the band. So it must be good design. Our friend Casey Wester did that. She's awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. So do you guys still live in the Salt Lake area?
We do.
Wow. And let's talk just real quick about your origin story. So obviously we know you're ski bums, but how did you all find each other?
Well, on top of being ski bums, we were all like professional musicians. And it was just, you know, with It was like we were all like band single at the same time. Like none of us had bands, and we like got together and wanted to start a band.
The music scene in Salt Lake was pretty small back then too.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exploded since, but in the last 10 years. But but yeah, back then it was, I don't know, it was inevitable, I think. I was going to say, you say nobody had bands. I feel like everybody had tons of bands, but yeah, it was not a real... Not your passion band.
Yeah, that's kind of the scene in Utah. There's like a bunch of people like will play in bands that get hired for like events,
mm-hmm.
but they're not like creative bands. And we were all hankering. Well, and then and then this band like slowly usurped everyone's bands, and we became band monogamous.
I do remember moments, especially for whatever reason, when Zach said it, put in my brain. I remember where we were in Heber when he was like, "This band has something special. I've got to start quitting my other bands." So he put more time towards it.
That's so great. It's kind of like swiping right instead of left, or whatever it is you do on those dating apps.
I did have somebody ask me one time, a friend of ours who was getting into playing music more in bands, and she reached out and she said, "Pixie, am I correct in feeling like this is kind of like dating?" And I was like, "It's absolutely like dating. You try it out, you play some sets, it either works, it doesn't. Maybe sometimes you want it to, it doesn't, you're sad."
And when you get to this point of driving around in the van, you're basically like cohabitating.
We always say that this is our five-way sexless marriage, but we're also brothers and sisters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what makes a strong band, too. Well, you guys have been together since, what, 2017? 2016.
So 10 years that we've all been together. The band, they were a band about 6 months before I came along. So 10 years, all intents and purposes.
Well, the band is really made up of a lot of good, strong vocals and voices. And, of course, Katya, you've got – did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
You really have just a beautiful voice. And I know, Ben, you sing. How do the songs get written?
So, for the most part, we are all songwriters. And somebody will write more or less a full song and then bring it to the band. And it'll be anywhere between, "Hey guys, I wrote, you know, chords A to Z and I have lyrics and vocals and I want us to just kind of organically fill it in together." Sometimes it's a little bit more, composed already. You say, "I know I want you to play this at this point." And then I'd say maybe like 10-15% of the songs, are strange collaborative efforts that often start as silly jokes or just somebody's playing a cool lick at band practice and all of a sudden a year and a half later it's a fully formed song. So it's sort of each song has kind of the core writer and driving force, and then it's really dependent on the song, but it is a collaborative effort to sort of finish composing it.
Yeah, and that's what makes you guys obviously have really strong relationships there. You know, since 2016, you're still together and you're writing songs and traveling together. And, you know, not a lot of bands make it that way. So congratulations. I also have noticed that, you know, you're extremely relatable for a lot of us mountain folk and outdoor enthusiasts, and many of your songs capture this lifestyle. And so how important is lifestyle to music creation for you?
Well, I think it's all, you know, I would say Ben for sure writes the most like directly about, I love to say he writes a lot of songs about the water cycle, you know, rain to rivers to snow. Amanda's got a lot of fiddle tunes called things like Snow Day, Cabin Fever. I think for me, I'm inspired by it, but maybe not quite as directly as these guys. I know that the lifestyle helps me be centered and in the mind space to actually be able to be creative, but I'll let them speak to how they write songs directly inspired by literally skiing on a mountain.
I mean, my songs are directly inspired by whatever I'm doing at the time. Like you said, Cabin Fever was written when I was in quarantine in a cabin in 2020. Snow Day was written when I had no power in an ice storm. Let's see, what else? There's No Friends on a Powder Day. That was written because somebody who lives in my house, I won't say who, decided that the powder, we could go up just 2 hours before the ski resort opened on a powder day. And that is not true. I had to miss a powder day and I was just seething with anger until it, and just saying that phrase over and over, "There's no friends on a powder day. There's no friends," until it turned into a song. So I would say for me, I wrote a recent song of that's kind of angsty and like talking about how everything in the world is just so messed up. And I mean, so every song that I write is directly an expression of something that I need to get out at the moment for what I'm doing with my life. And I'll pass this over to Ben because he's the mountain man.
Mountain.
I mean, yeah. For me, the whole skiing and just rivering and stuff. You know, that's like just that's for me. It's always been like a big reset in terms of like finding the simplicity of life. You know, and like doing just, you know, making your day so much easier that it's like, oh, yeah, we have to eat breakfast today. Mm-hmm. And like later, we're going to have to eat dinner. And in between that, like, we're just going to go do cool stuff that makes us happy. Mm-hmm. And then my songs turn into like that. Like, I woke up and ate breakfast and went skiing and it made me happy. And, like, that's like, you know, it's pretty copy paste there.
Yeah.
You know, I do wax poetic from time to time. And sometimes the songs don't have words and they're just sounds. And it's like, I'm like, no, this is, and I know you can't, it doesn't have any words to describe that it's about being in the mountains, but it actually is about that.
That's right. And this, your show tonight should get everyone really, really psyched. You have a new album out, correct?
I would call it newish.
Newish.
Yeah, we're working on our next one, actually. But, yeah, it's been out for a minute. I think our website is really outdated.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I was looking, and then I saw it said new one in 2026, and I was like, well, is this the new one already, or is there another one coming?
There is another one coming that's very, very close. I actually think maybe today or tomorrow we'll be sending the first single out for mastering. So It is close in the pipeline. It is still to be named, actually.
Ooh.
I just realized we haven't named it yet. So if anybody has really good ideas, even though you don't know what songs are on it, let us know.
Well, yeah, if you pick up a vibe, like, in your heart, let us know.
That's awesome, you guys. I really appreciate you taking the time. Before we go, real quick, to have to listen to news, give us your webpage, and I believe there's still tickets available tonight at Tacon. It's going to be a great show. You guys are so much fun, and I appreciate that you called in to KDNK. We play your music here. Give us your webpage and where people can find more about you.
So the easiest place and best right now probably is any socials. Like I said, our website's really out of date, but it's pixieandthepartygrassboys.com. We'll update that soon. But on pretty much any social media, you can find us at Partygrass Music. So not too hard to remember.
That's right. Partygrass. They will be partying tonight. So.